Today's scripture is from three different Old Testament stories, generations apart. This first story is from Genesis. It is the story of the great flood, when God provided Noah's family safe passage through waters of judgment into a completely new world. Listen from Genesis 7, 17 to 23. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out, people and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The second story comes from Exodus. It describes the moment when the Israelites, trapped between Pharaoh's army and the sea, trusted God and walked through the parted waters to freedom. Hear first from Exodus 14, 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And then skipping to verses 29 to 31, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. The third scripture is found in the book of Joshua. It takes place 40 years after the crossing of the Red Sea. That next generation of Israelites faced another impossible water crossing as they entered the promised land with God's presence leading the way. This scripture is found in Joshua 3, 14 to 17. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by the whole nation had while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just a few weeks ago, we were on holiday down the Cape and found a great little beach down there near Chatham where we could go swimming. Out in the bay, there was these like a floating dock or like a swimming platform that we could go out to. So I encouraged my son Finn to come out with me and swim to them. When we got there, we climbed up on top of the dock. And I said to him, hey, how about we jump into the water together? Now, this is the first time Finn's ever done anything like this. He didn't know what was in those waters. They're looking a bit murky. He'd heard the stories and seen the pictures of the sharks and the jellyfish and everything that's down there. And understandably, he said, "You go first." So I went in first. I demonstrated my finest cannonball and then came swimming back to the dock. I was pulling myself up onto the steps and saying, "No, it's your turn. You go, you go." And he goes, "No, no, 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 no. You get back in the water. Stay in the water." See, he wanted me to be in the water with him before he would do it. So I swam back out and he got up the courage and replicated my cannonball, taking that plunge into the uncertain waters. See, in that moment, Finn had to answer a question. He said, what does it mean to say yes to an invitation when you can't see where you're going to end up? When the destination looks uncertain, jumping into the unknown with an uncertain outcome. You see, Finn could only answer yes in that moment because he trusted the person asking and because he knew the person asking was also going to be there with him. And see, that's exactly what we saw here in baptism today. You know, it is people asking themselves that very same question. What does it mean to say yes when you can't see where you're ultimately going to end up? To take a risky plunge because they trusted God with the uncertain waters of their life that are to come ahead. So though there were no cannonballs into this pool, I did encourage them, but what an amazing time it was to be able to celebrate. What an encouragement to see. And we should do it every week. I'm kind of buzzing from it this morning. I love the courage that's demonstrated by the people coming forward for baptism today, especially given I know what's going on in their lives. For four of them about to go to college, for all of them just knowing that there's challenges and uncertainties in life right now. But think back about that challenge about going to college. It means a lot of change. Things are definitely going to look different. It's this moment of transition. You sort of would think, oh, in a moment of transition, maybe put off the big life moment like baptism. Let's wait till things settle down or are more secure. But actually, I think that's the perfect time. And moments of uncertainty are the perfect time to step into baptism. Because baptism is all about taking the plunge into uncertainty. See, the baptism involves water isn't a random choice at all. It's powerful, deliberate imagery. Something that can engulf us. Something that can overpower and take over and bury us. You know, the Vermont singer-songwriter Noah Kahan uses water imagery just all the time. Listen to it in all of his songs, it tends to come up. And for him, water represents fear of anxiety, of depression, of abandonment, all with a cheery banjo riff playing over the top. The words of this song title, he says, "You knew me in my spiral, happiness tidal. It comes and it goes, and I sank into the water, how I drifted farther away from the coast." See, this theme of water, it's something that can overwhelm and destroy us. And that's exactly what we're picturing here in baptism this morning. So when we watch these baptisms, we're actually seeing a picture of people going down, being engulfed in chaos, uncertainty, going even to a place of death. So we're celebrating this morning the courage of people who've identified themselves in a place of death. And we ask this question, they've asked this question, what does it mean to say yes to God in this place where I can't see what's coming next? And so that's the question I want to extend to all of us this morning, for all of us to wrestle with. What does it mean for you today to say yes to God when you don't know where he might be leading you, when you've got uncertain steps ahead of you, which you don't know what this next season is going to look like? What might God be asking you to take the plunge into, to trust him with that jump? See, not just in baptism, in all of life, because it's not just the random initiation ceremony. This is actually a pattern for what a life of a believer always looks like. It's always about taking that jump of courage and trusting that there's somebody who will bring you through waters out to new life on the other side. So this morning, we're just going to focus on these three stories that were of immense challenge and uncertainty and overwhelming turmoil, and see how God was the one present in the middle of it, bringing people through. But bringing people through into the unknown. He wasn't solving all their problems. See, God leads his people into unknown circumstances. See, this is something God does again and again throughout the Bible. The examples are all of these great patterns that get set up, how God rescues people, but he doesn't rescue them to complete safety. He rescues them to more unknown. Actually, he rescues them to a relationship in the unknown with him. So yeah, let's look back at these stories. First, Noah and the flood. It started off with this really impossible situation. God comes to Noah and says, I'm sending floodwaters to destroy the whole earth because of its wickedness and corruption. This is beyond repair. But so for you, build an ark, a structure you've never encountered before, for a flood that's never happened before, for a new world that you've never seen. Great. So into that impossible, God sends Noah and his family, brings a collection of animals with them. But crucially, God goes with them into the water. He's there as he closes the door of the boat. His presence of the dove is there to guide them into uncertain steps and brings them safely through that flood. But one more twist, when that flood finally does subside, Noah and his family, they step out into this totally new world, a daunting reality to repopulate and remake the world all by themselves. What an uncertain task that God has led them to. Yes, rescued through water, but into the unknown. So that's the first rescue. The next rescue was the Red Sea crossing. Again, another impossible situation in front of them. The people are escaping slavery, Egypt and Pharaoh's army on one side, the Red Sea on the other. They've got nowhere to go, death on either side. And then God tells them, walk into the sea. It seems crazy, but that's what God was saying. Take the impossible step into the waters. But of course, as soon as they step into the waters, then God's presence is suddenly there with them. That pillar of cloud, which had been guiding them, stepped into the water and it parted away. Two towering walls on either side. So picture walking through that, just this narrow passage. The water is right there. You're on the mud in between. A bloodthirsty army is chasing behind you, but the Spirit of God guiding you gradually through it to safety on the other side. Yeah, when they reach the other side, they get the joy of finally being free and safe. They see the Egyptian army has been destroyed by these waters. But only now, they're in a desert. They're in the wilderness, something they're going to be in for 40 years. They're going to struggle to find food and water. They're going to be living as a new community for the first time out of bondage. And they're trying to figure out, what does it mean to live with this God? Really, they're totally clueless as to what's ahead. Massive step of uncertainty. And then finally, crossing the Jordan River. 40 years later, God says it's time to enter this land of Canaan. Only it's not going to be simple again, because there's two significant challenges. One, lots of fierce people already live in Canaan. And two, there's this raging river that's going to be impossible for them to cross with their children and their flocks. But in a deliberate replay of this Red Sea crossing, the presence of God comes once again into the water. The priests carry the Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence with the people. And as soon as their feet touch the water, the tar of water comes back up again. The water piles up and they make that journey through safe to the other side. But remember, that's only one problem solved. They've just crossed a river. They've now got to go into the rest of this dangerous land. They've never fought battles like this before. They don't know what's going to come. But they have this marker of the initial rescue. And that's what all of these people had, that initial rescue. So they reach that other side and celebrate, even though there's challenges ahead. So do you see that pattern? It was the same pattern played out in all three stories. First, impossible waters, circumstances that just seem totally overwhelming. How are they going to get through with this? But second, God's presence comes into the water. Crucially, God wasn't telling them to make the leap alone. God also wasn't saying, here's another way you can go without the water. Actually, God was in that water first and asking them to come into it. And then third, a start of a new journey, a new life where things are totally different because a rescue has happened, giving this new bravery and courage to face further unknown challenges, further uncertainties. So here's what the pattern tells us. God doesn't rescue us from uncertainty. He actually rescues us through uncertainty and then invites us to become more and more a part of future uncertainties. You see, it's an unfinished story God invites each of us into. Yes, a certain finished rescue, but that opens up a life of possibility, but it's through uncertainties. that God is asking us to be a part of his redemption story that goes on and on. That might sound disappointing to you at first. You might want a more secure rescue from God. We want God to eliminate our problems, not lead us into more new ones. This is actually the most hopeful truth in the world. Because if God specializes in rescuing us through impossible waters, then there's no situation that can come up in life that he can't then help you through. See, isn't that exactly where we find ourselves all the time, facing just the next uncertainty, the next challenge, wishing they wouldn't be there, but knowing we've somehow got to find a way through it or around it? You know, none of us know what's coming around the corner. We might be 18 and heading off to college, or 80 and facing new health challenges. You might be single and wondering about marriage. You're married, wondering about kids. The details change, but this reality stays the same for us. Just like Noah, Israel at the Red Sea, the people at the Jordan, we ask this same question. Will you trust God in the uncertain waters that come ahead? See, the difference isn't whether we'll face it. We're all going to face uncertainty. It's who do you trust to then carry you through that? See, God asks us to begin our lives with him in baptism, with this watery rescue, so that we have this example forever of him going into the depths with us, so that we have confidence when these crisis situations come, when we're in hospital waiting rooms, sleepless nights, or on one-way flights across the country. He's already in that water before we step into that uncertainty. And that's exactly why baptism makes perfect sense. When someone gets under that water, they're not just making that statement about their past. They're actually making a really profound statement about their future. They said, this is setting up the pattern for what my life's going to be. I'm going to have a pattern of trust in my life that with the next uncertainty and the next one, I know I've got somebody who specializes in impossible waters with me. See, that's a very powerful guarantee that God has with you. And it's not just based on wishful thinking, it's based on a guarantee. Because our baptism actually guarantees God's presence with us in the unknown. And it's a sure guarantee. Yes, it invites us into this uncertain future, but we get to bring something with it. In Joshua 4, right after they crossed the river, they make a memorial. They've just crossed the river. They build up some stones as this way of saying, we will always remember that God brought us through this. We'll always come back and remember us. We've got a guarantee. If we can cross a Red Sea, if we can cross the wilderness, if we can cross this river, then God will help us cross what's next. Romans 6 reflects on this Old Testament pattern of all these rescues that God does over and over. Paul writes there, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Paul's not just being poetic with these words. These are incredibly, deeply practical words he's got for the Roman church. He's saying that when you're baptized, something actually happened. You were united to Jesus. You went down into the waters, yes, as a symbol, but to show participation with what Jesus did. You were buried with Christ, and just as surely as Christ died, you're guaranteed that new life going forwards. So in other words, if you've already died and risen with Christ, what else is there to be afraid of next? If death waters couldn't hold Jesus, if death waters can't hold you, what else do you have to be afraid of? What else won't God bring you way through? And remember, it's a way through it. It's not an avoidance of it. It doesn't look like you can get through those waters by yourself, but God has a way through that. Our circumstances, it doesn't always look like there's a way through, but we have a guarantee that God does do that. He somehow finds that line, that tunnel through the water, that passage to bring us through. So when we say baptism's about taking the plunge, we're not just talking about an act of trust. We're also talking about the deep confidence to face everything that comes afterwards. Because baptism says you've already survived the worst waters you could have. And this is something we carry with us all the time. You know, some people think of baptism as, it's a bit like your spiritual birth certificate. Kind of marks, yep, I'm identifying as a Christian. I get a certificate. We actually have a certificate for you guys. You get a little certificate. But like a birth certificate, you file that away. You put it in a filing cabinet. It rarely comes out the rest of your life. So I want to suggest a different image for you. So I think a baptism is a bit more like a spiritual passport. See, it's the document that you carry with you whenever you need to enter into new territory. See, it has a use. When you go there, it has a power and a utility. It says, I belong to someone. I've been marked out, and I have been granted access to what's next. I have safe passage through. See, that's a power that can go with you wherever you go. So when you go into the unknown, like off to college, into that hospital room, into just a hard conversation you might have been putting off, you don't go there alone. You go there knowing that you carry the presence of God with you into those spaces. Baptism guaranteed you of that. God's presence with you. You can belong in any story that comes your way. Now think of the powerful lives that produces. Think of what that would mean for us as a church community if we're really living in and understanding our baptism more and more like that. Think of how we can have just such confidence to enter into risky situations. Confidence to step into places of pain, to be the people who go places where others don't want to go, but also the people who have such hope with whatever we might already be carrying, knowing we're hope and we can share that hope with others. It totally remakes the world. That's when we say we rise them up out of the water into newness of life. That's what we're talking about, a newness that has this guarantee with them, this power. And this power isn't just a mindset. It really is the presence of God with us. If you see through all of those stories in the Old Testament, there was a key moment where the Spirit of God was with them. On the ark, the Spirit of God launches the boat, closes the door and launches the boat. In the Red Sea, the pillar opens. On the Jordan crossing, the ark comes into the water. And in Jesus' baptism, when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended down upon his head like a dove. And that is exactly the gift that we have when we trust in Jesus too. It's his presence of the Holy Spirit descending upon us, being with us wherever we go. That's not just a mindset power, that is real power of the Holy Spirit with us. See, that is the guarantee, his presence and his power always with us. So when you face those uncertain waters, you standing on the edge of the unknown, you can have that confidence to take that next step, because you've got that power with you. God not just behind you. First, he's in that water. He's going to be present with you. But he has also given you that power to take that step. See, God, it's like God is inviting you to take that jump off the platform with him in the water before you already. This isn't about just being a reckless risk taker in life. It's about having this pattern of trust that we exercise again and again, as God calls us into more of what he has for us, more of his amazing plan. So what does that all mean for us? I think Romans 6 doesn't just say we're buried with Christ. It emphasizes that raised to walk in newness of life again. So let's step into that newness of life promise that's there, that everything can change. We can have a new confidence and a new power for what's ahead, a whole new way of living. See, it doesn't just mark the start of a beginning of a walk with God. It marks the start of confidence, of this new pattern of life that you get to live in, where you carry this passport and guarantee with you. And so that's where we turn next, to consider what does that going to mean for each of us? How can we take this next step of confidence? And what might God be calling you into next? Where is God calling you to take the plunge? So what new or unknown place might God be inviting into you? As you imagine yourself standing on that platform above the water, what is it that God might be calling you to? For some of you, following Jesus might be something you're considering. You still aren't sure. There's risks. It seems a bit weird. They do this thing with baptism. And you're just not sure about taking that next step. But here's what I want you to hear. That there is actually somebody very present and real in that water. There's somebody who meets you. When you take that step, Jesus invites you into a real relationship with him, one where his presence will be with you, will be able to help you make sense, will be able to help you meet those next challenges. So hear his invite to trust him in that way. It's a really big step and it requires courage, but actually hear that God has this gift of courage to give to you if you do take that step. For some of us, we're believers, and just that step of baptism has maybe been something that we've been putting off. Actually, from talking to a lot of people, a lot of people seem to think, I need to reach a certain standard. I need to be good enough. I have to have my life all sorted before I take that step of baptism. But that's not the story of baptism at all. If we had to wait till we were sorted, none of us could get baptized. Actually, what baptism is like Magdalene shared, it's that humility. It's putting your hand up and saying, I need rescued. That's the only identifier I have, is somebody who needs rescued. And so that can be your next step. And again, seeing these blessings that come with it, you've got a journey ahead with God. God has plans for you. And step into that knowing that he has that presence and that power to be with you. And for those who are already baptized, I know it's entirely possible to forget what that has meant. N.T. Wright said, we spend our whole lives working out what our baptism ever meant. And I think that's because it's all about this pattern that we have. We've got to live into the pattern of trust. Every day is a new opportunity to express trust in this pattern and new way of living. So let's call one another more and more into this pattern of trust. What are the risks that we have been avoiding? What are the things we're saying, God, I don't quite trust you there? Well, let me give you just two encouragements to go with that. First, your baptism guarantees God's presence with you in whatever comes. And whatever those hard circumstances that you're avoiding or are anxious about that are causing you sleepless nights at the moment, your baptism says you had one who's carried you through death, the most uncertain of waters, and he's already in the water of this next challenge, ready to walk with you. And second, I really want to encourage us as a church that baptism empowers us to step into the waters of chaos for others around us as well. That's what it is to be a part of God's mission. He sends us into the world to be that presence with others. For those who are standing on the platform facing uncertainty about next steps, we can be the people there with them. We can extend that ministry of Christ by being those people there. You know, following our God who specializes in impossible rescues, we don't have to be afraid of deep waters. That's one of the benefits of being a Christian. We don't have to be afraid of deep waters. See, remember, your baptism isn't just about getting you to safety. It's about joining in that mission, that new identity as a church together. So friends, I want us to see this guarantee that God holds out to us and this hope for an uncertain future. We can have hope through uncertainty that is ahead for us. So let me invite you to take the next step of the plunge, whatever God might be calling you, whatever you sense he is calling you to step into next. Trust him in that. Know that he's there with you. Please, you pray with me. Lord God, thank you that you specialize in rescues. You bring us through what is impossible into lives that are just look uncertain for us. Lord, you ask us to trust you because there's so much blessing that can be found in that. In that we see your greatness. And so we long to see that more and more. Lord, in our prayers this week, would we be expressing that trust, reaching out to you and asking for you to show your presence to us. But Lord, give us more and more confidence that whatever that next step is you're calling us to, you're there in front of us. Lord, make yourself real to us today and encourage us with your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.